Welcome to Atlanta Business Radio. I'm Amy Otto, and each week we co-host, Lee Cantor and I, an interview with a noteworthy Atlanta business leader. We try to learn some practical lessons and best practices from these fascinating entrepreneurs, and this week I'm really glad to have Don Rigby from Integrated Marcom joining us in a few minutes, but first we'd like to share with you some of the networking events that we have happening around Atlanta in the coming weeks. Through the Atlanta Metro Chamber, we have Small Business Matters on September 6th and on September 7th, also through the Chamber, the First Friday Executive Series. And Lee, I don't know if you've ever been to that, but boy, it's a great format for learning from others. We learn a lot in that meeting about people in our same industry and others. It's a great way to share some business practices. On the 11th, there's Leads to Business. If you'd like to check out any of these events, you can go to the www.metroatlantachamber.com. Anything going on with the Gwinnett Chamber?
Yes, you know, our friend Sandy Richardson from the Gwinnett Chamber always sends me what's happening over there. And we got the Small Business U, which is, I guess, similar to the Metro Atlanta's executive series, where they're trying to teach and share information. That's on September 5th. And then on September 6th is their networking event, Network Gwinnett, that's kind of a leads generation group. And you can get information from them at the GwinnettChamber.org, www.GwinnettChamber.org. Anything? How about online? Got any online tips?
Online. Fast Pitch, of course. We've got to mention Fast Pitch. We have the next Fast Pitch social event coming up on September 12th at Cafe Intermezzo from 5 to 7. Hope everybody can join us with that. If you're curious about Fast Pitch, fastpitchnetworking.com.
That's right. And another organization we are affiliated with is PowerCore.net. Go to PowerCore.net. You can find a group here in Atlanta that maybe meets your classification. It's a closed networking group where it's only people, one per category.
Exactly. Well, I am dying to learn more about Don.
Wait, I got one more. AtlantaEvent.com. You got to check that out. That lists, that's the mother load of information about networking. That lists every networking event that you can imagine.
You just said mother load.
Mother load? Is that a bad word?
No, I don't think so. Mother load. I like that. The mother load of networking.
That's right. AtlantaEvent.com, and then just go to business networking groups there. So are you ready for the guest?
I'm ready for the guest. I am.
How about if I introduce him?
Please do.
All right. Don Rigby is here with us this morning from Integrated Marcom, which means marketing communications that he so aptly told us earlier. Integrated Marcom was launched in February of 2006 in order to help emerging companies achieve sustainable organic growth as opposed to just rampant inorganic growth. Don has been in Atlanta for 15 years. His background is diverse. He has done everything from performed on Broadway to worked in radio to being the head of marketing for software companies. He has lived through 9 mergers and acquisitions and is ready to share some of what he has learned on the way. Welcome to Atlanta Business Radio, Mr. Rigby.
Thank you, Lee. And thank you, Amy. By the way, I am the mother load of organic growth.
Ooh. I like that, too. Your background is so diverse. I think the thing I'm most curious about is those 5 years on Broadway in the entertainment business. I'd love to know a little bit more about that.
Ooh. Well, those are memories that I would never, ever change or sell because they are just so precious to me. I learned a lot about managing a group of creative people because creative people are different. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Really? They're different.
All the way through junior high and high school, I played in a band. Got to play in a rock band in the 60s, in the very, very early 70s. And I put it on the shelf for college. And then my last year of college, it started coming back down. I played keyboards. And I played in a jazz band. And, after college, I said, I have been doing this thing for my folks, frankly, the college thing. And I got to go do something for me.
Wow.
So what was that? What was it you did for you?
I put a band together, a college band. A college band that did great. In a year's time, we went out to California. We had a 99.9% sure thing recording contract. 0.1 showed up, right?
No.
So we put a 50s band together long before 50s became posh. This is in the 70s now, right?
Right.
People wanted to forget about all the pressures in the 70s. They wanted to go back. Remember Sha Na Na?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
What a great, fun entertainment. That was back now when disco was going strong, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, to do something to compete against disco, you had to be visual.
Like the Beatles?
You couldn't just go up there, play music, and shake your buttons, expect people to feel like they got their money's worth.
Right.
We had to create a show. So we put a 50s band together. And then one segment of that was centered around Elvis Presley, long before Elvis died. Hmm. What's interesting is, in the entertainment world, you either sell a lot of tickets or you sell a lot of drinks. Elvis Presley could do that better than anybody.
Right.
And that was our ticket. We ended up, shortly after Elvis died, the Minsky family raised $1.1 million to put a Broadway show together. We were one of a handful of people who were doing Elvis elegantly. Okay? Very flattering. When we were there, Elvis was there.
Wow.
And
you had an Elvis impersonator?
Yes. Who ended up being
was
the best
you?
Man? No. We ended up being the best man in my wedding, and he's a great soul. And
does he still do
no.
in Vegas?
No. But, I mean, we spent some time in Vegas. We actually positioned ourselves in Orlando, Florida, ultimately, and based ourselves out of there. Because what do you do in Florida? It's sun by day, nightclub by night.
Right.
And then we did, annually, we did like three tours. We did one-night city tours. and they were long, grueling nights. But I loved that industry. I had so much fun. I learned a lot about marketing, frankly.
Right.
Fundamentally, music is about marketing.
Well, performing in that way is how did it help you in sales? I'm sure it helped.
Yeah.
What were some of the lessons that kind of translate from entertainment to sales?
I absolutely don't view myself as an entertainer today. Not at all. In fact, I'm not even very funny.
Well, I think you're very funny.
I wish I was.
You're charming.
I wish I was funny. Those who are do well. But I think there is an attraction that is created when you promise someone you're going to be on stage, you're going to deliver something of value. By golly, you got to do that.
Right.
If you want to build repeatable audiences that come back night after night after night, you have to deliver above and beyond what they expect. Now, isn't that business?
Right.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm curious a little bit more. You were talking about inorganic customer growth earlier and how it can be destructive. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yes, I'm happy to. This really, as best of my knowledge, there's only two ways to grow a business. One is through inorganic, through acquisitions, mergers, acquisitions.
Right.
And the other is organic growth.
What's examples of organic? Just one at a time, earn the customer, referrals?
It's about finding, keeping, growing customers,
mm-hmm.
new customers. Organic growth is about increasing the business volume and the business value to existing customers and current customers so that the revenue streams go north. If you don't have organic growth, you're shortly going to die. New business is key to that. Doing business with existing customers is equally key to that. Inorganic growth, how many of us on this earth have lived through a merger and acquisition? We all have.
Right.
And cultures change. Business values change. Careers change. And it's disruptive. Customer relationships get disrupted in that whole process. Again, I have lived through nine of them, and I pledged there wouldn't be a tenth until it was on my terms.
Wow.
But
wow.
Actually, some of those were on my terms. There are certain industries where inorganic growth makes great sense. When it's reached a certain level of maturity, the only place you can continue to grow is to grow at the expense of your competitor, and you absorb them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there is the right time and right place. But true growth, to me, true growth where you can create sustainable company evaluation where the net worth of the owners and the stakeholders grow is truly in organic growth.
So you talked a little bit about the four pillars earlier before we went on air. Can you talk a little bit more about that so our listeners can hear about the four pillars of structured growth?
Yes, it's one of my favorite subjects. I think the four pillars, well, let me come back a little bit. One of the core values that I bring is the ability to go in and look at sales processes, marketing and sales processes. And I like to automate as many things, many of those things as possible so that we can be predictable on the other end. But before I go in and turn up the volume of communications, we have to, absolutely have to improve the value of those communications. Now, what that means is oftentimes I do business with a client that is probably outstripped their ability to grow with internal resources. They would come to me and say, help, I need help to get to the next stage. So we'll go in and we'll look at what their value is to customer, how they voice that value, how they message that value, how they position themselves is relevant to a customer. But then we go one step further than that. It's quite possible that the company's strategy is not right, that their competitive analysis says that they would do much, much better job if they decided to do this versus this, 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 this. That is life-changing to an owner and to the sales and marketing teams.
Do you find that a lot of your clients, they kind of can't see the forest for the trees? Like they're so used to doing it a certain way, it's hard for them to objectively look back and say, hey, you're missing this whole thing over here. Why don't you just kind of shift your attention to this facet of your business rather than this other part that you have been doing? And maybe, I guess, like you said, you've kind of maxed it out. Is that what a lot of your work is kind of just kind of opening the eyes of your clients?
Well said, because we're all humans, Lee. And
yes.
We're frail, and we have memories that forget. And we forget certain things that are fundamental to growth. Fundamentals such as block and tackling. Just look, the companies that are doing great doesn't mean they have necessarily a better product or a better service. They're probably just executing on fundamentals better than the competition.
Mm-hmm.
So in essence, I come in and I do look at those fundamental things and I do suggest we get back to the basics to a certain degree. And I build a strategy. That's a growth strategy. I build a messaging platform that's unified so that every storyteller is saying the same story, and it's presented the same way on the website, and it's presented the same way in the letter communication and in brochures. You know what? If you have confused customers out there, they're not going to be around very long.
Right.
Unified messaging delivers an amazing value because it's clear, it's concise, and therefore it can be compelling. And only compelling companies win today.
Right.
Everything is commoditized. Mm-hmm. Everything.
And you don't want to compete on price. I mean, so you better be compelling.
You and I have a common friend that shared a book with me called Creating Competitive Advantage. Maybe you've read the book.
Not yet.
But Janie Smith is the lady who wrote it. I mean, we've been looking at this subject for a long time. It might be a tired subject, but again, it's basic. It's fundamental.
Right.
Either you have a solid, well-articulated competitive advantage, or you're going to compete on price.
Right.
That's the great equalizer. And if it comes down to price, chances are that client or that customer that comes on board with you, because of that, they won't be on board long.
Right. If the only reason they're going to you is because of price, that means that the next time somebody has something similar at a lower price, you're done. You're yesterday's news.
You're right.
So you get the message unified, and then what's the next step?
I call it sales execution. And sales execution is where a lot of consultants stop. They stop prior to that. There's a lot of people in marketing that talk about, I'll have great messaging. I'll have great positioning for you. Here's a document that I will share with you, and here's the ideas on how to execute on it. Okay? Well, that document goes from the desk to the credenza to the file cabinet, and nothing happens with that. It's called, again, human nature. It's hard to take the next step and execute on great ideas.
Well, it's hard to, you know, make it alive. You got to somehow infuse life into it. And so you help them do that? You take it from the theoretical to the practical?
I do. There is a tool that I am very closely aligned with. It's really a workflow engine that attaches to some low-cost contact management systems so that I can define exactly what's going to happen step by step by step, no matter what stage of the relationship a prospect or a customer is in. If you're introducing yourself to a new customer segment. I'll eliminate that cold call problem, and I'll seed that relationship with a communication that could be a letter, could be an email, could be a fax. I don't care. Frankly, I do care. I still think that number 10 business envelope represents the kind of business decorum more so than email.
Right.
We are just hammered with unsolicited emails, and I take offense to that. I will never be an advocate for starting off a relationship on email. I will do the number 10 business envelope. I think that
stands out. I mean, it's like you said, that's compelling because no one gets letters anymore. So if I get one, right. I'm now like, hey, what's this?
You know? It's not just Don Rigby's opinion. The Direct Marketing Association believes that's still the wisest way to start. It's allowed. It's permitted. It's acceptable. But you have to make it personal. So I build out personal one-to-one communications that bridges a relationship and bridges value between an account executive or a salesperson and their prospect. And it's like, here's what we do. Here's why we could be important to you. And the third step might be, now that you know a little bit about us, I need to know a little bit about you.
Right. Listening is a critical element. I think a lot of marketing consultants kind of discount that part. But, I mean, if you don't know what the person's problem is, how can you possibly – I mean, how presumptuous is it to offer any solution without really listening and understanding what their problem is to begin with?
We've all run into salespeople like that. We all think – I mean, maybe we've all been salespeople like that at some point in our life. But what happens is we learn better. And we try to make every interaction meaningful.
Well, it sounds like your initial steps, you spend a lot of time just listening and trying to understand what their processes are, how they're doing things. Because without doing that, how can you, you know, be bold enough to have any suggestion?
If you're speaking of my service to clients, absolutely. Right. If you're thinking of my recommended approach for a sales organization to engage with a new prospect, absolutely again.
Well, it has to be congruent, I would imagine.
Absolutely. I mean, beliefs are beliefs.
Right.
Take us through the process.
Okay. Of
an emerging business, say a brand new business starts up. Take us through the process of how you take them
what's
to
the
level of a success.
You know, A, B, C, and D.
Well, first of all, you have to climb inside the heads of the owners. What is it you want to be when you grow up? I mean, what do you fashion this business to look like?
What drives them? And
give me a
3 to 5 year picture of where you want to be. I'm working with a couple companies. One in particular is an insurance company that's a $2 million enterprise today. They want to be 5 in 5 years. And I said, beautiful. There's a start. Now let's figure out how we're going to get there. How we're going to be relevant. How we're going to win. How we're going to. And by the way, the insurance industry is a very difficult one to distinguish yourself in.
Sure.
There's
a lot of play.
Really?
So we have done something pretty amazing with this firm. We did research. They have over 1,000 customers right now. They've been around for 40 years. They just got complacent.
Yeah.
They evaluated themselves as an A-ranked team for client retention. They gave themselves a C-minus in new business, but they recognized new business was key. So instead of somebody from the outside on a big white horse saying, this is what you should do, we said, no, we're going to go talk to your customers. We want to see what they think is relevant about you and your service.
Right.
Great.
So we surveyed over 1,000 of their customers. We got a 27% return for an online survey, and then we went back and called and talked to people directly, specifically what they felt about the relationship and about the service.
Right.
How hard was that to get them to agree to allow 1,000 of their customers to talk to you? Were they open to that, or you had
goal,
to kind of persuade them a little bit?
The goal of 2 to 5 in 5 years creates a lot of incentive. Only when they allow me to do what I do best.
Right.
And if they don't allow me to talk to their customers,
you can't do what you do.
I think my value is diminished.
But were they agreeable, or did you have to explain it to them in that strongly?
Absolutely agreeable, and every client that I've worked with is agreeable to that, or we don't advance.
Right.
Because you learn good.
Right.
You learn bad.
No, the good, I'm sure they're okay with. It's the bad and the ugly that they get a little nervous about.
If there's ugliness out there, why wouldn't we want to know about it?
Believe me, I understand intellectually what you're saying, but I would imagine that there's some, you know, CEOs of companies that would be a little hesitant of kind of pulling back the curtain to seeing what's behind there.
Understood. Look, if we're going to spend a lot of time and effort to bring people into the top end of the funnel, if they're falling out the back end because we're not servicing, we're not sustaining that relationship for some reason, we should know that.
Right. You're not delivering what you think you're promising, you know, and you got to get that it's all about communication. I mean, you got to get it all on the same page.
Yeah.
And over time, especially over 40 years, I'm sure there's been some bad habits formed over those 40 years.
So let me go back to your original question.
Sorry.
And that is, tell me about the process. So we research. We research customers. We research their competition. We find out what's unique, special about them or what they're leading with. I had a staffing company at one point that was trying to be a staffing company for everybody. We researched their customers. We said, look, 80-some percent of your business volume is here. Mm-hmm. Don't try and be all things to all people. Be a specialist.
Right.
Generalists are dead. Specialize in something and be the best that you can possibly be at and build all your processes around that. And then let's grow that. Let's shoot for the largest share of market we can in the industrial sector.
Right.
Forget everything else. That'll make your story much more compelling. We can position yourself in such a way that it resonates better with the people on the other side of the of the conversation. And
it's more efficient to market to that space instead of every space.
Yeah.
Almost like duplicating your efforts. You know, once you have that vertical market down and you know how it operates, then to just take it to businesses like that. That's interesting. Can you share any success stories with us that you're proud of?
Yes, I could. But to go back to that one other thought, what makes common sense for some of us in the marketing and sales and business development arena is not always common practice.
Right.
So we can't assume that they know what we know. And all we're bringing is some knowledge, some experience, and some wisdom to make a difference in their business. For those who grant you the opportunity, it's fun to do that. So your question was, give me some examples. Yeah, let's take that staffing company that I mentioned. In the first 6 months, we engaged them with five specific companies that they started doing business with at the end of 2006. Now, annualized, those companies represented $273,000 worth of business. My engagement with them was probably closer to, $24,000 or $25,000, something like that. I'd say that was good ROI. By the way, that gives me an opportunity to say one of the things that defines who I am and what I do is guaranteed results. Not many people in marketing talk guarantee.
No.
But because we're going back and doing fundamentals really, really well, I can almost, no, I absolutely can predict the outcome. And it comes over time, and it comes with experience, and it comes with knowing where the growth gap that they're suffering from, how I resolve that.
Right.
What are the growth gaps? I'm glad you asked. Lead generation is one of those growth gaps. If there's a problem there, it becomes very obvious.
Right.
The next growth gap identifier, I'll call it a bucket that we analyze, is the conversion. How well are we converting from leads
to sales?
To sales. Right. Turning these people into customers. Next bucket, how long
do we
keep these customers?
Right.
The next bucket, is there a cross-sell, upsell opportunities? Are we growing organically within our own customers?
So you build in a referral system as part of your process?
Good. Absolutely. In fact, everybody knows the value of referrals. Everybody talks about it.
Right.
But nobody has a systematic approach for yielding that.
Right.
And we've created an elegant way to ask customers and a simple mechanism for volunteering back, and it's great. But the last thing we analyze is margin. How can we improve margins, or what customer segment represents the most or the best margins? Because it's really all about margin at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can position them as a specialist in something that allows them to get a higher dollar and compete less on price, then margins go north and we are justified, period.
Right.
The strategy is valid. Those are those five buckets: leads, conversion, loyalty, expansion or cross-sell, upsell, and margin. Those five buckets mean everything. Now, we analyze that up front, and guess what? You have to analyze it after a year's time.
Right.
Right, to make sure that you're doing what you said.
They become KPIs. So after we turn on this system and we put in the execution sales system that creates an environment for accountability for salespeople, and sometimes that's not always a comfortable idea, but this is very comfortable. This is all win-win. This system I do does more for salespeople than any Salesforce automation or CRM system that exists on this earth,
mm-hmm.
period. By the way, Salesforce automation, you know what's ironic about that?
What is that?
There is no automation. CRM or customer relationship management, guess what? There's no relationship there. It doesn't do anything to foster that. My system, my workflow system, does, because I communicate consistently, tactically, and I build relationship automatically with the target audience, whether they're a prospect or whether they're an active customer or a brand new customer or whether they've been around for a long time, like clients for life.
Right.
The end goal is to take a raw lead and convert that into a client for life. And along the way, there are baby steps that each sales organization must earn to get to the next stage. All I do is nurture that. So, two things that define Don Rigby and Integrated Marcom is the power of process and the nature of nurture. Nurture is key. There isn't anybody on this earth that likes to be sold, but everybody loves to buy. What we have to do is create an attraction that allows people to want to buy from us. That's a nurturing process. That's not a sales process. And I embed that in every communication that I share. And I put it on the web, and I make it part of the speak of each salesperson. And it just works, because fundamentally it's understanding the human spirit first and what it takes to buy, and then serving that belief.
Now, do you find that your system works across industries, or is it tweaked in different industries? Like, do you have a sweet spot of I work best in industrial, or I work best in IT, or whatever it is?
I don't know that I've found a space or an industry that cannot benefit from my service. Are there industries that have proven to benefit more? Absolutely. I am associated. In fact, there is 20 people on this earth that do what I do in different geographies, associated with this company called Mastermind Software. And we have built this Mastermind Business Development value statement that, well, long story short, there are three vertical markets that do exceptionally well with what we do. It is insurance, it is financial planning, and it is mortgage. The question is why?
Why? Why?
It's all about the whys.
It is, because it's about relationships. Mm. You don't disclose anything of a personal nature to anybody you don't like, trust, admire, or want to know some really inside information about you. So if our system excels in those three markets, think about how it can excel in other markets.
Right.
So because it's about fundamentals, because it's about nurture, because it's about taking the power of process and the ability to automate those processes, the end result is a whole lot more predictable than any other marketing whiz-bang sales proposition on this earth. And I'm sorry to say that, because I know there's a lot of people in the advertising community that promise the world,
right,
or in the media that promise, yeah, we'll make you famous. And they could do so much. What my system does is really go back down to the basics and does so much more.
Right.
Wow.
So what's next for Don Rigby and Integrated Marcom?
Now you're touching on a spot that's really, really interesting to me. Not many people like to go to this place, but when you submit yourself between ownership, sales, marketing, and customer service. You put yourself right in the middle of that, you see a lot of dysfunction. And by the way, that's in every single company. You don't have to be small, large, medium-sized. Right. You could be technical, non-technical. It doesn't matter. I mean, there is – sometimes there's cross-function – there's dysfunction within cross-functional departments that should be like chocolate and peanut butter, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But how many times has marketing and sales worked at cross-purposes?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. And I have been part of that from my 30 years in corporate America. I have been a contributor to that, unfortunately, and it's been a frustration of mine. What this system does is bring marketing and sales together, and it takes messaging that marketing believes is right, and it puts it in the hands of the salespeople who need to own that. And we help them own that because I write out the communication that bridges.
Right, so that you get buy-in from everybody.
Everybody. And it's buy-in from the top down.
Right.
So if I can rid the company of some of that dysfunction, I've already brought a layer of smooth.
Harmony.
Yes. Wow. Yes. So, but here's the other thing that happens. Once you submit yourself and you create value, the clients like to take you in places that you would like to go, but you're probably not the best person to go.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, could I help somebody in sales training? Yes. Yes. Because I've been there, but I don't necessarily have a methodology that I really, really embrace and get behind. I support all methodologies.
Right.
So I might be able to go 75% of the way, but my clients deserve 100%. So I will reach out to a sales training organization that I've leaned on over and over and over again, and I know delivers a value. I know that knows what I'm looking for from this. So I can point to that sales training organization. And by the way, they want me to help them with telemarketing. You know what? I'm not sure that I'm going to – I could craft a script nicely, but I'm not the person to drive
it.
But I do know a telemarketing organization. I do know a web development multimedia organization. I do know a
– So you have alliances across lots of different disciplines.
I'm building a membership of 8 presidents, stakeholders, executives of marketing service organizations that are all subject matter experts.
Mm-hmm.
They don't try to be all things to all people, but they are the best at what they
do. Everybody does what they do, right?
Yeah. And this is all coming under an umbrella called Growth Answers. Growth Answers is an educational platform. It's stuff that I've been doing for about a year and a half in terms of a seminar that I do, all under this theme of Growth Answers. It may be different things like how to create a competitive advantage, how to take branding and bring it to the dinner table.
Right.
It could be a lot of different things, but it's been an educational platform. It's a website. It's an e-newsletter called Emerge. It's a network.
Right. It's all about networking, right?
Well, this is a formal network.
Sure.
Once a month we get together, and those 8 member companies bring in 8 guests. In the process of enjoying breakfast at the Georgian Club, that's where we host it, we get all 8 of us get together. And then they bring a guest, and that guest
16 now. You have 16 people there.
So we're given 3-minute presentations on why we're relevant, what's unique, special, and different, and why we could be meaningful to anybody in the room.
Right.
That's
so
great.
We do that for 90 minutes. It's called networking. The next 90 minutes is called networking. And what we do is we drill into each other's best practices, and we really, really understand how the other works.
That
allows us to do what? To really recommend with confidence.
Sure.
That's great.
So
that's great.
Eventually – the vision is a performance-based LLC under the name of Growth Answers with distinct subject matter experts and disciplines that are all about executing on business development.
Right.
Business development on demand.
What's the best way for people to reach you?
IntegratedMarcom.com. is a great place to begin. It's a website.
Is Growth Answers have a website yet?
It does. And Growth Answers website has been up and – it's always been up, but it's been really geared towards certain events. And it's famous line, under construction for for the bigger Growth Answers story now and not just event-based.
But somebody can go to integratedmarcom.com and then your contact information is there. It has your email, phone number, all that good stuff.
All that good stuff. and some content that's worth reading and worth sharing.
Right. You have there's some downloadable things, sure. White papers and and resources that a person can get a hold of there.
Yep. What was the website again?
IntegratedMarcom.com. I can spell that.
Go ahead.
IntegraTed. And Marcom is MARCOM.com.
Don, it's been a pleasure. I can tell we could probably sit and talk for hours. I really enjoyed this. So thank you so much for being on our show. Lee, I did need to address one email that I got this week.
Go ahead. Only if it's good.
I got an email from somebody that said, Amy, what is a nice girl like you doing hanging out with Lee Cantor?
That's not good.
And it makes me wonder. Are there some things we should know?
I got to know who that was, off air.
Okay. If you're interested in being on Atlanta Business Radio, you can email me, amy@atlantabusinessradio.com. Thank you so much for listening. We do need to thank our sponsors. We are thanking Fast Pitch Networking and, of course,
Aflac.
If you're interested in knowing more about Aflac, you can contact me, Amy Otto, at 404-310-1777. This is Amy Otto for Lee Cantor. Thanks for listening to Atlanta Business Radio.
Looking for a place to post your press? Look no further than Fast Pitch Press. Expose the latest news to one of the largest, most captive audiences of business professionals around the globe. To get started, visit www.fastpitchpress.com.